This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in Al-Islam. I welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Another beautiful Wednesday evening, mashallah, tabarakallah. And the date tonight, today, brothers and sisters, the 25th of May, subhanallah. And how fast this month has rushed by. The month of Ramadan on our doorstep and this month of Sha'ban almost done. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq, the ability, the capacity and capability to fast the month of Ramadan, to reach that month of Ramadan and to fast it with Iman, to stand and pray with Iman, and whoever does so, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, then his or hers past sins are forgiven. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to fulfill all of that. For us to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan of our lives, subhanallah. How many a times? The 27th of Ramadan, the 28th, the 29th, and we ponder and we think that, whoa, I've wasted a lot of time. The month has come and the month has gone. What have I achieved? I was supposed to recite and read one juz of the Noble Quran every day. That was my target, to make a personal khatam of the Noble Quran. I'm now 35 years old. I'm now 73 years old. And in reality, I've not made a khatam of the Noble Quran, subhanallah. And that's too in the Arabic language. What about reading the kalam of Allah in the language that you do understand? Subhanallah. I'm now at the age of almost 60 and I've not gone through the Quran from the beginning until the end, understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me. What is this message from Allah to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam given and sent to all of us? Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, let this month of Ramadan be a different month of Ramadan. Not like the previous ones, but rather, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, with the help and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what He wants from us. He wants from us to make the best of this month. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, our Nabi, your Nabi, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, maybe a person fasts and all he gets out of this fast is hunger and thirst. Allahu musta'an. He also said, and maybe a person stands and he prays, and all he gets out of this prayer is tiredness. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, let it not be that we did the fast, but we didn't get any reward out of that fast. We stood and prayed, but the reality of that prayer has not dawned upon us. Allahu musta'an. We were expecting such and such, but in reality we didn't get it. So prepare and plan in advance. Plan in advance to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan, subhanallah. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, brothers and sisters, a little bit of the discussion in tonight's hadith touches upon this matter, insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we continue our series, the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. That scholar, that alim, that zahid, that muhaddith, that faqih, that usuli rahimahullah. That scholar put together these 42 ahadith. Why? So that Bilal, Ismail, Sumayya, Saliha and Tasneem, they go through them and they understand their religion. They understand their religion via the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Super concise in the words, super vast in meaning, subhanallah. Concise but extremely comprehensive, the words of our Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the final messenger to mankind. Brothers and sisters, we move on to hadith number 23. And we only have 1 hour, subhanallah, limited time, but a lot of discussion pertaining to this beautiful hadith. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن أبي مالك الحارث ابن عاصم الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم upon the authority of Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari, he narrates that he heard the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم stating الطهور شطر الإيمان والحمد لله تملأ الميزان, which means طهور, purification, it is half of faith. الطهور شطر الإيمان. شطر could mean half, or it could mean one of the two portions of إيمان, of faith. والحمد لله تملأ الميزان. And the phrase الحمد لله, it fills the scales. It fills the ميزان. وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأني أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض. And the phrases سبحان الله and الحمد لله, both of them together, or each one of them, they fill whatever is between the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ, and the salah, the prayer, it is a light. وَالصَّدَقَةُ بُرْهَانٌ, and charity is a proof. وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءٌ, and patience is brightness. وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ, and the Qur'an is a proof for you, or it is a proof against you. Subhanallah. كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو فَبَائِعُ النَّفْسَهُ فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُوبِقُهَا, and every day, everybody goes out in the morning, and they either sell themselves by freeing themselves, or they destroy themselves. And this hadith, brothers and sisters, recorded in the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi, and as Imam An-Nawawi mentions, recorded in Sahih Muslim. Brothers and sisters, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, our discussion will revolve around this beautiful hadith of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We begin the explanation number one, the takhrij of this hadith. Who from amongst the muhaddithin, the scholars of ahadith, have related, recorded this hadith? You find this hadith in Sahih Muslim, in the Sunan of Imam At-Tirmidhi, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, Darimi, Bayhaqi, Imam At-Tabarani, and others have recorded this. But there are certain variations, certain versions. For example, Imam Al-Bukhari in his version in Tariq Al-Kabir, it mentions Al-Wudu'u Shatrul Iman. It does not mention al-tuhuru, but rather al-wudu'u. So rather explicit, not purification. Purification could be for and include tayammum. It can include spiritual purification. It can include physical purification. It can include your ghusl and all of this. But the other version of this hadith mentions explicitly al-wudu'u shatrul iman, that wudu, your ablution, it is one of the two portions of iman, or it is half of iman. We find, for example, in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, isbagh al-wudu, which means the perfecting of your wudu, not just any type of wudu, but rather perfecting of your wudu. In the Sunan of Ibn Majah, it does not mention as-sadaqatu burhan, charity, it is a proof, but rather it is explicit as-zakatu burhan, that zakah, your obligatory charity, it is a proof. We find in some narrations, not as-sabru diya, not patience, it is brightness, but rather as-siyamu diya, siyam, your fasting, this is brightness. Subhanallah. And we know the month of Ramadan on our doorstep. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatallah. We also have the narration recorded by Imam At-Tabarani, which mentions explicitly al-tuhuru nisful iman, that purification it is half of Iman. So the version we are dealing with mentions Shatrul Iman, which is one of the two portions, but the narration of Imam al-Tabarani mentions explicitly Nisful Iman, which is half of Iman. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the narrator of this hadith, the companion of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what's the definition of a companion? What's the definition of a sahabi? We found that majority of the muhaddithin, the scholars of ahadith, are of the opinion that the individual who met the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, believed in him and died upon Iman, this individual is regarded as a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you met the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not necessarily that you saw him, maybe you were blind, but you met the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you were there in his company, you believed in him and you died upon Iman. This is the definition according to majority of the ulama. There are certain discrepancies, there are certain differences of opinion. Some, for example, put a condition that it must be for a long period of time, ala kulli hal. This is the definition of majority of the scholars. Our companion who narrates this hadith, his name is Abu Malik. Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari. And there's debate with regards to his proper name, plus minus 10 opinions with regards to his proper name. What we do know, he was from the Ash'ariyun. The Ash'ariyun, a tribe from Yemen. And he passed away during the plague in Sham, Ta'un Amwas, in the year 18 AH, in Syria, in Sham. And we know that Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Abu Ubaidah, Shurahbil, and others, they also lost their lives during this severe plague in the area of Sham. He narrates 27 ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number 3, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, the importance of this hadith. We find that our scholar, our Imam, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he states, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ عَظِيمٌ وَهُوَ أَصْلٌ مِنْ أُصُولِ الْإِسْلَامِ. This hadith is super important. It is one of the pillars of the deen. One of the pillars of the deen, مِنْ أُصُولِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And he then mentions عَلَى مُهِمَّات مِنْ قَوَاعِدْ الْإِسْلَامِ, that وَقَدِ اشْتَمَلَ عَلَى مُهِمَّات مِنْ قَوَاعِدْ الْإِسْلَامِ, and it covers the super important matters of Islam. Covers what? It mentions salah, it mentions charity, it discusses piety, it talks about this noble Quran, talks about this revelation which came to our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam over a period of 23 years. It talks about that Quran, that brother, that oh sister, Sumayya, Ahmed, Ilyas, Tasneem, and Fatima, Ahmed and Tayyub, understand that on Yawmul Qiyamah, this Quran will either be a proof for you or it will be a proof against you. Subhanallah. Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Quran will stand as a proof for you or against you. Allahu musta'an. It affirms the matter of the scales. Yawm al-Qiyamah, we believe Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in the reality of the mizan, the scales wherein our deeds will be weighed. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we take a short break bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, and when we return, we move on to number 4 in our explanation of this, beautiful hadith, hadith number 23 in the collection of the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Hayyakumullah. Brothers and sisters, the hadith begins, At-tuhuru shatrul iman. The purification, it is half of iman, or it is one of the two parts, portions of faith of iman. Remember, tuhur, at-tuhuru shatrul iman. Tuhur is the act of performing the ablution. Whereas, in the Arabic language, at-tahur, tahur means the actual water that you would use. Similarly, suhur is the act of waking up
in the morning and eating, and sahur would be that which you eat, that which you eat. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, al-tuhuru shatrul iman. What does this mean? What does it mean that your purification is half of faith? You find that the ulama have debated on this matter. Because subhanAllah, how can it be, ponder, how can it be that my wudu, it is half of iman? Half of iman, subhanAllah. The matter of wudu, yes, we know it is important. It has its place. But what about jihad? What about, you know, the noble Quran? What about salah? What about siyam? What about zakah? What about hajj? What about nikah? What about business transactions? What about qada? What about all of those matters? I mean, is it such that ablution covers half of my iman and all the other matters cover up the other half? One might say, someone might say, this seems a bit odd. And thus the ulama have debated what was meant by al-tuhuru shatrul iman, that purification is half of faith. We find that some of the ulama state that what it means is that the reward of purification is so great. The reward of purification is so great that it reaches the reward of half of faith. It is so important. Imam al-Nawawi, he mentions this amongst other explanations. And some of them said, no, this seems a bit too far-fetched. The first one being, again, that the reward for purification is so great that it reaches the level of half of faith, showing its importance. Another explanation given by some of the ulama, that just like how iman, once you believe, once you enter into the fold, just like how your iman wipes away your previous sins, your iman, your tawheed wipes away your previous sins, just like that, your ablution, your purification wipes away your past minor sins. And your ablution is dependent upon you having that iman and that faith. So they said, that's the relationship between both of them. Not super clear. The third explanation given by some of the ulama, that what is meant by iman here is not faith, but rather salah. Allah mentions in the noble Quran, and Allah uses the word iman for salah. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. And Allah will not allow your iman to go to waste, يعني your salah. Allah will not allow your salah to go to waste. So these ulama, they've stated that iman here means salah. And so your ablution and your purification is half of not faith, but rather it is half of salah. And Imam al-Nawawi, he favors this opinion. And this opinion would carry a lot of weight and makes a lot of sense, that our purification, it is the key to our salah. If you don't have purification, obviously you don't have any salah. And the key to paradise is obviously salah. So what is meant again, that iman here means salah, and thus your ablution or your purification, it is half of salah. It is half of salah. That's a very good opinion, makes a lot of sense. The other opinion of some of the ulama, that faith is made up of affirmation of the heart and the outward submission of the limbs. And the purification and salah which goes with it are outward submissive acts. They are acts of outward submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your iman covers your belief in the insides, your faith within yourself in your heart. And then the ablution and the salah are from amongst the most important outward acts of submission that one would perform. That's an opinion of some. Another group of scholars, they said, what is meant by purification here? That purification is divided into the physical and the spiritual. And so the physical removal of dirt and the spiritual removal of shirk and sin. And so your ablution here, what is meant by it? It is meant, what is meant by it? Purification of physical and spiritual impurities. And that's the opinion of Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, as you can see, great debate amongst the ulama with regards to what is meant by purification is half of faith. Some ulama stated, purification here means avoiding sin. And faith is doing good and avoiding evil. Doing good and avoiding evil. And so this hadith is talking about purification in terms of avoiding the evil. Thus it is that half. We find in the Noble Quran, إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسُ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ, that the people of Lut, they said with regards to those who were not engaging in those sins, that they said these people want to be the clean ones. We also find that at the end of the day, majority of the ulama state what is meant by purification here is wudu. They said at the end of the day, that's the most explicit, that's the most clear understanding from the hadith. And that's the opinion, for example, of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, majority of the scholars. It's the most apparent meaning. And it's also consistent with other versions which mention clearly wudu is half of faith, and the other version which mentions completing the ablution. So, as subhanAllah Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he mentions, he says that at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what he meant by that and what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant by that. Because no doubt at times it can get a bit intricate and it can get a bit complex what is meant by At-Tuhuru Shatrul Iman. If we had to summarize it down to two opinions, brothers and sisters, we would say that what is meant by it is that purification is half of salah. That's a strong interpretation. And the other interpretation of majority of the ulama, that purification here means the wudu, and the wudu, it is half of our faith. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers and sisters, moves on to the next matter, and that's the matter of dhikr, the matter of taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just before that, remember well that this purification is super important. The key to your salah is your purification. If your wudu is messed up, if your wudu is incomplete, if your wudu is incorrect, then your salah is also going to be incorrect. How many a times you find that the brother, he's performing wudu and his ankles are left unwashed. His elbow is left unwashed, subhanAllah. The area on his forehead also unwashed. Allahumma sta'an. Even if it be a tiny spot which was left unwashed, brothers and sisters, that means your wudu is incomplete. That's on one side of the matter. On the other extreme, subhanAllah, you find individuals who would wash and wash and wash and wash. The man's performing wudu and it's been 30 minutes and he hasn't finished. He's got wiswas of shaitan, whispers of shaitan. He thinks that he's not washed properly, and he washes a second, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth. Subhanallah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever increases in when he is washing, when he is performing wudu, he washes one time, mashaAllah. Two times, excellent, walhamdulillah. Three times, fantastic, mashaAllah. A fourth time, faqad asa'a wa ta'a. The one who washes a fourth time, he has done something wrong. Asa'a wa ta'adda, he's transgressed. Wa zalama, and he's also committed oppression. He's wasted water, he's wasted time. And he's not supposed to do that. One might think, oh, but mashaAllah, this is wudu, more the merrier. Keep washing, keep washing. No, brothers and sisters, not at all. You wash once, twice, thrice, khalas, after that. Otherwise, shaitan opens up that door. He makes you miss the salah in jama'ah. Half an hour you are performing wudu. 1 hour you need to wash your hand every 3-5 minutes. Allahumma musta'an. May Allah protect us from that. Summary. Purification is half of our faith. That, as is said, cleanliness is next to godliness. Brothers and sisters, if one, for example, does a quick Google click, or for example, you travel, you visit Kigali. Kigali, the capital of Rwanda. It's one of the cleanest cities in the world. Do a quick check. The 5 top cleanest cities in the world, one of them being Kigali in Rwanda. That country is not a rich country, subhanAllah. poverty all over, but you would be hard pressed to find a sweet wrapping on the floor. Super clean, walhamdulillah. People are in poverty. And so the idea that, this is acceptable because we're in a state of poverty, not at all, not at all. Those people, they take pride with regards to their surroundings, take pride with regards to themselves, and they are extremely clean, walhamdulillah. The streets, the parks, super clean, walhamdulillah. And that's a lesson for all of us. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. And alhamdulillah fills up the scales. Imam Al-Haytami, he said that it fills up the scales if you think over the meaning and you submit to this alhamdulillah. You submit to its implications. Then you are rewarded this reward, not just by merely stating Alhamdulillah on your tongue. Imam Al-Haytami, what does he say? He says that you need to understand the meaning and you need to submit to its implications, then you get this great reward. Fills up the scales. What does that mean? Is it metaphorical? Is it physical? Will this Alhamdulillah have a physical mass on Yawmul Qiyamah? We say yes. This Alhamdulillah will have a physical mass, just like how we know that the Quran will come on Yawmul Qiyamah and it would speak. We know that our own limbs will speak on Yawmul Qiyamah. He did this, mouth will be closed. He did this with his hand. He did this with his eye. He looked at this with his eye. He walked towards such and such. The limbs will talk. The earth will talk and testify on your behalf. Your sadaqah will come in the form of in some form, and it will testify on your behalf. So we do not say that this alhamdulillah filling up the scales is metaphorical. No, rather it will have a physical mass on Yawmul Qiyamah. And this alhamdulillah, what does it mean? It means the praise of Allah, and it also has attached to it gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that Mawlana Mududi, he explains, and he says that whenever we praise somebody, we do so for two reasons. Firstly, because excellence calls for praise. You've done an excellent job, and so you call. This calls for praise, irrespective of whether that excellence has any relevance to us or not. Maybe it's got nothing to do with us, but we still praise it. Second, we praise one whom we consider to be our benefactor. When this is the case, our praise arises from a deep feeling of gratitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of praise on both counts. On both counts, it is incumbent upon us to praise Him, not only in recognition of His infinite excellence, but also because of our feeling of gratitude to Him, arising from our awareness of the blessings that He has lavished upon us. He goes on and he states, it is important to note that what is said here, meaning this alhamdulillah, is not merely that praise to be to Allah, but rather all praise is only to Allah. Underline the word all, underline only. All praise is at the end of the day only to Allah. Wherever there be any beauty, any excellence, any perfection, any shape, whatever form it might be, in whatever way it manifests itself, its ultimate source is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No human being, angel, heavenly bodies, no created being, whatever it might be, if it possesses any excellence, wherever excellence exists, this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, if there is anyone at all whom we ought to adore and worship, to whom we ought to feel indebted and grateful towards, it should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the possessor of all excellence and the creator and possessor of all types of excellence. Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We also find that Alhamd or Hamd. Hamd means to praise. Hamd means to acknowledge. To acknowledge, ithbat, to affirm. And then tasbih, subhanallah, is to negate from Allah any imperfection. So we find affirmation of Allah's perfection, and we find negation of any imperfection. And that is the kamal of praise. Brothers and sisters, hamd, just so you know, hamd is more general than shukr. Shukr usually is, when somebody does you some good, so you say shukr, etc. Shukr is like thanks, whereas hamd is much more general. Madh,
For example, you praise somebody for stuff that they might do to you, and it is also for matters which are beyond their control. You know, you praise somebody for their handsomeness or for their beauty. This is beyond their control. And we find that this hamd for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not necessarily related to any thanks, but rather it is super general. Whether you received some good or you thought you received some good or you feel you didn't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still deserving of that praise. The scales. This alhamdulillah fills up the scales. We believe in this mizan. We find in the Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the matter of the mizan, the scales. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. That whoever their scales are heavy, they are the successful. And whoever their scales are light, then they are at loss. Allahu musta'an. We also find that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, أَثْقَلْ مَا يُوضَعُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ الْخُلُقُ الْحَسَنِ. That the heaviest matter on the scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be what? What's the heaviest thing on Yawm al-Qiyamah in the scales, brothers and sisters? What is it? Your beard? No. What is it? Recitation of the Noble Quran? No. Your Salatul Taraweeh? No. What's the heaviest matter that would be weighed on the scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah? What would be that matter with which would hold and which would carry the heaviest weight? It is super weighty on the scales. What is it? Your scarf? No, sister, it's not your scarf. They are all important, super important. It is your good character. Your good character. Khuluqul Hasan. Your good character. We find, brothers and sisters, the hadith of Bitaqa, it also establishes the scales and the weighing of our deeds. The hadith reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed that this man would come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and he has, you know, deeds after deeds after deeds of bad deeds. Allahu musta'an. The scrolls will be open and for as long as far as he can see, it's all evil deeds will be put onto the scale, and it is super heavy. Then Allah would ask him, do you have anything else? No, I don't have anything. You know, I'm destroyed here. Allahu musta'an. Then Allah would say to him, no, there is something, and you will not be wronged on this day. And then a card will be brought. Not these scrolls, but rather a small card will be brought, subhanallah. And this card would have on it, La ilaha illallah, that this man had said. And it would be put onto the other pan on the scale, and it would outweigh all of those evil deeds that he had done, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Say alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters. We also find the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions a big man, a massive individual comes on Yawm al-Qiyamah, but he weighs just the weight of like a mosquito, subhanallah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, people laughed at his shins, at his ankles, very, very thin. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that in reality they will be weightier than the mountain of Uhud on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Weightier in the scales. We also find the famous hadith that two words beloved to Allah and they are light on the tongue and they are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are heavy on the scales. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahil azim. We find that some have mentioned, no. There's no such thing as your actions will be weighed. They said that these are not bodies, they are accidents. So they cannot be weighed. We say, Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir, and Allah is over all matters able, and Allah will weigh our deeds, and our deeds would have mass, and we hope that they would be heavy on the scales. Brothers and sisters, your Nabi, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then moves on and he mentions, Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi tamla'ani aw tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. And Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, they fill up everything between the heavens and the earth. This Subhanallah, what does it mean? It means Allah is above, and Allah is free of any blemish, any imperfection, any defect. Allah is complete and perfect. The Alhamdulillah affirms for Allah all of the praises, and the Subhanallah negates from Allah any type of imperfection.
When you join the affirmation and the negation together, this is kamal, this is complete beauty. Just like our kalima to tawheed, la ilaha, first we negate. There is no deity worthy of worship, illa Allah, except Allah. So first we negated, and then we affirmed, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. This shows us the importance of dhikr. It's the food of the heart. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the example of the one who remembers Allah and the one who doesn't is like the example of the living and the dead. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. And verily in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find tranquility. And remember, dhikr of Allah does not only mean you sat and you said subhanallah 1,000 times. You said alhamdulillah 500 times. No. But rather before committing that sin. And you did not commit that sin. Why? Because you remembered Allah. Before you entered the toilet, you took the name of Allah. Once you exited, before you ate, alhamdulillah. Once you finished eating, you thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you left the home in the morning, when you returned back home, every time you enter, every time you leave the home, you remember Allah. When the adhan goes, you leave whatever you are doing, you remember Allah, and you head off to the masjid. Or the sister, she performs her salah wherever she might be. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. That is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are doing good, then you remember Allah and you do better. And if you are doing evil, you remember Allah and then you stop. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moves on and he mentions, وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ. And salah, it is light. This means that salah is full of light. Or it could mean that salah gives of light. Could also mean spiritual light. Your guidance, belief, iman, removal of doubts from your hearts. There's debates left, right and center between individuals, between ulama, between various religions, etc. And so you find that the salah gives you this light, the spiritual light, this guidance, keeps you away from these evil desires. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, keeps you away from fahsha and munkar. It's a what? Bottom line, it is a guiding light. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, Surah Ankabut, verse number 45. It could also be a physical light. Salah is light, could be spiritual, could be physical. Where? Yawmul Qiyamah, that Allah mentions, Yawma tural mu'minina wal mu'minati yas'a nuruhum bayna aydihim. وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. That on Yawmul Qiyamah, these believers, they will have this light before them. When we were crossing the Sirat, pull Sirat, then we want light before us. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Also, Yawmul Qiyamah, we know the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recognize us by the light that we will have on our limbs, which I washed in my wudu. And that's how he will see us, recognize us on Yawmul Qiyamah. You used to wash your face, it will be bright on Yawmul Qiyamah. You used to wash your arms, bright on Yawmul Qiyamah. And that's how our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recognize us on Yawmul Qiyamah. So it could mean the spiritual light, Yawmul Qiyamah. It could mean, it could mean spiritual light in this world. And it could mean physical light on Yawmul Qiyamah. And maybe a physical light in this dunya too. The one who, mashaAllah, prays the night, the tahajjud salah. You look at the man's face, walhamdulillah, and you find that there's nur on that face, as is said many a times. There's light on that face. Simahum fi wujuhihim min athari sujood. On their faces, you find the signs of that sujood. You find that nur on their faces. Brothers and sisters, take note of the following. Look at the words that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose. When he said salah, he said salah is nur. Nur, light. And this is a soothing type of light. Like the light you get, the reflection of the moon. That nur of the moon. It's a soothing type of light. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions, Sadaqah is burhan and sabr is diya'. Diya', this is a type of light which is very, very bright. And it has a sense of heat and burning to it. It's shining bright like the sun. Like the sun. And sabr requires a lot of burning, a lot of effort. You need to, hold yourself back, subhanAllah. And you burn in your sabr. And that's why the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Noor for Salah, and he chose Diya for Sabr, because Sabr has a lot of burning in it, whereas Noor does not have that burning to it. It is that soothing type of light. And Sadaqah is Burhan. Burhan is like the rays of the sun. Rays of the sun. What does what do the rays of the sun indicate? It indicates the presence of the sun. And thus, the sadaqah, it indicates the presence of iman within yourself. It is a demonstrative proof. The rays of the sun prove the existence of the sun. And this sadaqah, it proves the existence of faith and iman in your heart. Because you are not going to give sadaqah except that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe in that reward which is going to come to you. That's why it's called sadaqah. Sidq, from truthfulness. Wa sadaqatu burhan. And sadaqah, it is a proof. It is a proof for you. The hypocrites, they would not give sadaqah, because they don't believe. But rather the believer is the one who gives this sadaqah. It's a proof for your faith, and it will also be a proof for you on Yawmul Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that we will not move our feet on Yawmul Qiyamah until we ask certain questions. عَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَ. That his wealth, where did he get it from? And how did he spend it? Hadithin, the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi. Brothers and sisters, Ahmed, Ilyas, Sumayya, Fatima, Tasneem, listening. Your feet would not move on Yawm al-Qiyamah until you are questioned about where did you earn your money? How did you earn your money? Where did you get this wealth from? And how did you spend it? Subhanallah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to charity, he said, اتَّقُوا النَّارُ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَى. That fear the fire, beware of the fire, even with regards to half a date. Even if it be you giving charity of half a date, beware of the fire, protect yourself from the fire, give some charity. I don't really have much. Give half a date in charity if that's all you have, subhanallah. Hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari. We also find in the hadith Qudsi, anfiq unfaq alayk, that spend and you shall be spent upon. You spend in the path of Allah and Allah will have money spent on you, subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions as-sabru diya', and sabr, it is this brightness. Patience, it is this brightness. Some narrations mention that siyam is brightness, not sabr, but rather siyam is brightness. With regards to patience, we know that patience is not easy. Patience is not easy. You know, you say the brother is burning, subhanAllah. He's burning, he's on fire right now. But he's just holding himself back for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasbiru inna Allah ma'as sabirin. And be patient, Allah is with those who have patience. And sabr, brothers and sisters, is not easy. Sabr from sin. You know, I want to commit this sin. I want to do it. It's open. It's clear. Nobody's watching. Nobody knows. I enjoy it. There's a fantastic taste to that sin. But I observe sabr and I stay away. Because subhanAllah, the aftertaste of that sin will remain. And that they will burn, brothers and sisters. Allah musta'an. And sabr from sin, tough. And we should make that sabr, and we should fight that shaitan. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Then there's also observing sabr upon the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing what He asked us to do. To wake up for Salatul Fajr while your duvet, mashaAllah, is super warm and it's super heavy on you. Difficult to wake up for Salatul Fajr. And then maybe it takes 10-15 minutes. You know, maybe you are taking and making wudu with cold water. Difficult.
It requires a lot of sabr with that. Look at the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look at the sabr that he made. Look at Ayyub alayhi salam and the illness that he had for 18 years. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 6 of his 7 children pass away in his lifetime, subhanallah. One after the other, they passed away in his lifetime. Ruqayya passed away, Zainab passed away, Kulthum passed away. His sons Qasim, Abdullah, Ibrahim passed away, subhanallah. Six out of seven, and look at the sabr that he made during all of that time. Look at the stones that at times he had under his garment due to the fact that food was not there. Allah musta'an. He sends that woman to his home to find something, you know, to ask the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for some food. All they had was water and some dates. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. Allah musta'an. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Did he leave behind some palace? Did he leave behind fancy gold and dirhams and dinars, etc.? Absolutely not. In fact, his shield was pawned with the Jewish individual. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed food for the home and didn't have the cash, and so gave the shield as a pawn. The sabr. وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءٌ. And sabr is this brightness for you, mashallah. Sabr, it is this brightness for you. والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك. And Quran, it is a proof for you or a proof against you. يا عبد الله, يا أمة الله. If one turns to the Quran with belief and seeks guidance, it's a healing and mercy. If one ignores and refuses to follow, then it's a proof against us. We find that some of the pious predecessors, they would say that some people read the Quran while it is cursing them. Some people, they recite the noble Quran while it curses them. Why? Because he's reading, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. And do not come close to zina, and verily it is a lewd and it's an evil way. And directly after salah, he's busy chatting with her. And after salah, he's making an appointment with her. And he's meeting with her here and there and everywhere. And he's just reading 5 minutes ago, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Subhanallah, Allah musta'an. And then he recites the verses with regards to lying. He recites the verses with regards to cheating. He recites the verses related to riba. And he's busy engaging morning, evening and night in all of that. So he reads, doesn't implement, and it might be cursing him. Brothers and sisters, that the Quran also, remember, it's a proof for you or a proof against you. Proof for you if you abide by it. Proof against you if you ignore it. And its primary reason for its revelation was for guidance of mankind, not guidance for Muslims only, or guidance to mankind, subhanallah. So, primarily the Quran is not a book of science or biology or geography, etc., etc. If we find that, if we get some benefit from there, alhamdulillah. But remember, the primary reason for its revelation, guidance for mankind. It's the link between the Creator and the created. The month of Ramadan on our doorstep, brothers and sisters, Iqra, revealed in the month of Ramadan to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that the 27th of Ramadan, that's when the revelation began. And so let us make the firm intention for us to have a relationship with the noble Quran in this month of Ramadan. We will recite as much as possible, and we will also try to understand as much as possible. And subhanallah, things have been made so easy today, brothers and sisters. You have the Quran apps on your phone. You do not even need wudu. You put it on while you're at work and you recite, mashallah. You have so many MP3 audios available, the tafsir is available, and so listen to that. If you dislike reading, then you listen to the Quran recitation, you listen to the tafsir, etc. You know what the imam's reciting in Salatul Taraweeh? The imam himself, how many an imam does not know what he is reciting, does not know the meaning of what he's memorized? Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, until when?
Are we going to continue like that?
Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, kullu nasi yaghdu, fabai'u nafsahu fa mu'tiquha aw mubiquha.
Every day you're going to do something. Today you did something. Tomorrow you're going to do something. Every day people go out and they do something. Either the something that you are doing, it will free you from the hellfire, it will set you free, or you are leading yourself to the hellfire. You are destroying yourself. You are destroying yourself. One of two matters. We find in the Noble Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And some individual, they sell themselves in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has purchased from the believers themselves and their wealth. And in exchange, what will they get? They will get paradise. These are the ones who sold themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Beautiful hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It touched upon the matter of dhikr. It discussed the matter of purification. It informed us that salah is light in this world and the hereafter. It indicated to us that sadaqah, it is a proof, it is burhan, it is a sign that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the month of Ramadan, the month of zakah, the month of sadaqah, give left, right and center as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءٌ. And sabr, it is this brightness, it is this brightness. Sabr in staying away from sin, and sabr in doing what I am supposed to do. Remember, the Quran, it's a proof for you, or it's a proof against you. And every day we have a choice. Every day we go out, either we sell ourselves to the devil, or either we sell ourselves and purchase ourselves for Jannah. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. This is hadith number 23, hadith of Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala an. And with that, we conclude tonight's majlis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting, our learning, our studying, our listening in our scales of good deeds. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day when nobody's wealth and health and family will be able to avail them, help them, except the one who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heart which is salim, which is pure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins past and present. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins committed in the brightness of the day and in the darkness of the night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow for us to be in the company of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us upon Iman, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to die upon Iman. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, until we meet again, hayyakumullah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.